May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. There is one truth about the world that you couldn't possibly know without the word of God telling us about it. And that truth is that there are two kingdoms in this world, and there are two rulers in this world. There are only two kingdoms and only two rulers in this world. And everyone who has ever lived lives in either one or the other. The one kingdom is called by our scripture today the domain, or I would say the dominion of darkness. And Satan rules over it. The other kingdom is called in today's scripture the kingdom of God's beloved Son. One could call it the kingdom of light. And the ruler of this kingdom is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The devil is called the god of this world. His intent is to keep people in darkness, deceived and under his control, without any acknowledgement that he even exists. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, the word tells us that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. In other words, Satan disguises himself and pretends to be the god of freedom, when really he keeps his subjects in slavery. Satan's most potent deception is to declare that you were meant to rule yourself. Do what you want. Cast off restraint. Follow your desires. Live by your own rules. Don't be straitjacketed by the Ten Commandments. Live free. You're your own God, and you know what's best for you. Don't we hear things like that? How clever the prince of darkness is. He can have you justifying the most hideous of sins. He could also convince you that you're a paragon of virtue, even while doing his bidding. Love is replaced by selfishness, and every commandment is twisted in directly the opposite place. And all the while, you can be thinking of yourself as one of the best, one of the good ones. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were God's chosen people. And God Almighty was directly ruling them. He ruled through prophets, of course, but he ruled them by giving them his word. But there came a time when they cried out to the Lord to allow them to have a king like all the nations around them had. Even though God had been their king, now they wanted an earthly ruler. Who was at work here? Satan was at work. For anything that can sever us from the true God or pull us away from him is by definition satanic activity. But there's that other kingdom. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, in actuality, that was an invasion. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, reveal his lies, and rescue people from the dominion of darkness. He means to transfer people into his kingdom, the kingdom of light, where he rules. This is the kingdom of truth, of love, of forgiveness, of perfect and beneficial laws. The commandments that God gives us are wonderful rules meant to bless us. They uphold righteousness and peace. Christ's kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. As he said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Where is the kingdom of our beloved Lord? It's in the hearts of people who believe in him and know that he rules. That's where the kingdom is. It has no geographic boundaries. It's not limited to one people, one race of people. Entrance into the kingdom is paid by Jesus Christ himself. His death on the cross canceled our sins, made us righteous before the Father, and granted us citizenship in heaven. It is because of this that we want to serve him and obey him and want him to be our king. So what kingdom do you want to be in? In the early service, we had a little child up there saying, God's kingdom, and he would jump up as he said it. Right. I should have planted somebody in here. But if your mind even hesitated as I asked that question, even for a nanosecond, it may be because you haven't really considered the true greatness and supremacy of Jesus. Satan, in cooperation with billions of people in this world, has constantly undermined and diminished the preeminence of Jesus. Even today, we hear a diminishing of Jesus in our society, in our culture. But let's ponder his greatness. Let's think about his renown. Look at what our scripture today in Colossians says, and let's be truly amazed once again at our Savior and King. Five things. Number one, he's the image of the invisible God. Have you ever wondered what God is really like? Look at Jesus. He's the portrait and the revelation of what God's really like. He's not just like God. Jesus is not just like God. He is God. And whatever you see him do in the Gospels, this is what God's really like. When it says he is the firstborn of creation, it doesn't mean that he was created. It means that he is the top, the very top, above all things, above all people, above all the angels. He is supreme. Number one. Number two, he is the architect of all creation. He was with the Father and the Spirit when the universe was formed. The creator of all things knows how everything works. Satan created nothing but evil. Christ, on the other hand, was there with the Father and the Spirit at the creation of the universe when the Father declared, all it is good. Satan, by contrast, is a destroyer, perverter, who loves hatred, war, and murder. He perverts relationships. He perverts sex. He takes our material desires and makes them greed and selfishness. Christ made this world beautiful. Satan is intent on making it ugly. Number three, Christ holds all things together. Now, this might be mystifying to you, but the world would literally come apart and descend into chaos, but for the working of Christ, who's holding it all together. Many Christians still have a deistic understanding of who Christ is. That is, a deistic understanding would be like God, take an old watch, for instance, he wound it up and then he left it alone. He wound up this world and he's not involved in it anymore. Well, this is not what the scriptures tell us. Christ is very active in this world. God is moving in this world. You read Acts 17, he moves in people. He decided the various tribes of people and races of people. In him we move and have our being. So he sustains it and moves it just as he does in our lives. If you read the Bible, you realize that God says, I feed the animals. I often wonder how they're doing. You know, we feed our dogs and cats and all the rest of it. But all the wild animals, they seem to do okay. Why? God says, I'm doing it. I'm feeding them. He is the one who is involved in our world in billions of ways. Number four, Christ is the head of the church, and he means to work through us to reach others. Any good we do as a congregation is because Christ lives in us. He leads us as the first of resurrected people. He is glorious one who guides us in our life on our way to heaven. And number five, Jesus Christ's supreme greatness is seen in his perfect love for us. His shedding his blood for us was the most magnificent, the most unrivaled, the most unparalleled act of love the world has ever seen. To be unmoved by it or not to believe in it is really the greatest sin you can commit. How can we spurn the single greatest act of love the world has ever known? And that for unworthy people like you and me. So I ask you again, what kingdom would you like to be in? Okay. That's right, God's kingdom. If you really want to be in God's kingdom, it comes with some responsibilities. There are three things incumbent upon us who are citizens of heaven. Number one, first you need to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your king. How do you do this? You do it by publicly worshiping Jesus with others. You do it publicly declaring that he is the ruler of your heart, without embarrassment, and yet with humility. You let people know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You will not hide your allegiance to Jesus Christ. You won't. Number two, as a citizen of Christ's kingdom, you will take on the assignment of serving the Lord, the assignment that he has given you. Everyone who belongs to Christ has certain tasks to perform. They're usually defined by the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. It may be a giant task, it may be a tiny one. You know, people always come and ask me, what does Jesus want me to do? And I usually respond this way. What can you do to make Jesus look good to others? What can you do for others in his name? It may be to send a card or feed the hungry or give a phone call to a lonely person. It may be to lead a Bible study. It may be to go to the Bible study. Deep down inside, if you're seeking the Lord, you will know what tasks you have been given. If you're seeking the Lord, because you're going to be seeking that task, whatever it may be, the Lord has given you. But take this home with you. There is something the Lord wants you to do. And he wants you to make sure that Jesus looks good. Right? And number three, and finally, out of love for Jesus and the response to what he has done for us, he saved us, he brought us into his kingdom, he transferred us there. If you are a citizen of heaven, then we need to obey him. Jesus said it was not enough to hear his teachings and not put them into practice. He said that many times. It's not good enough just to listen to me. You have to do what I've asked you to do. A true disciple is one who will put into practice the word of God and the commandments. What are the two great commandments? First one is to love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and your strength. And the second commandment is likened to that, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right? These are the two great commandments. We'll never be able to perfectly do those, but we should strive to do them. This is what it means to be a citizen of heaven. We strive to keep his commandments. So follow his commandments. Worship Jesus. Honor your parents. Don't hate your neighbor. Don't commit sexual sins. Do away with pornography and be committed to your spouse. Don't steal. Don't gossip and don't lie about people. Don't try to get what belongs to someone else by shady ways. Say no to idolatry. Say no to lust. Say no to greed. Say no to anger and rage and malice. Don't be lazy and don't be self-indulgent, but think of others and put them ahead of yourself. Instead, be compassionate, be kind and humble, gentle and patient. Forgive as you have been forgiven. We belong to King Jesus. We acknowledge him as our Lord and Master, and we worship him. We will serve him in the particular ways that he has given us as assignments in our life. And we will joyfully, key on that word, we will joyfully obey him. Not because we must, but because we want to. He is the incomparable one who loves us. How can we not love him in return? All praise and honor to you, King Jesus. In his name and to his glory, amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of our Lord, which is beyond all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in him now and always. Amen.